The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding men and women. Overview of the broadcast. The relationship between man and woman or women is the essential foundation on which human existence builds. This broadcast discusses the main elements of that relationship that are essential to understanding the role of men and women in life. I will start by stressing that Yah, the Eternal Creator, created men and women with a clear vision. I will note that Yah intended men to lead and defend. I will stress that there are seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers today. We will look at the demographics of women and men on earth in the body of true believers today, and note that sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage. I will stress that Yah intends passionate sexual lovemaking. We will note that adultery is the formation of one flesh bonds between men. I will mention that men pass through various stages and that women have various states. I will then stress that virginity testing is an abomination. I will then outline the essence of my message to you. I will present a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers, and finally we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio and TV program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. For more information, that's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. It's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least three podcast websites that have all the back issues. So today's message, 2022-0704, originally published as 2021-0504, the essence of my message regarding men and women. The relationship between men and women, or between man and woman, or man and women, is the essential foundation on which human existence builds. This article discusses the main elements of that relationship that are essential to understanding the role of men and women in life. This article is focused solely on spiritual believers in the Almighty Creator. Elements of it will not make sense to any others. Folks, this is important. There are two states. If you're a committed believer and you're really going all out to serve Father, then this article is relevant to you. If you don't believe, or you're a nominal believer, you're not going to understand some of the points in this message. You might even be offended by them. So, you know, please listen with care. The key thing is to decide to become a true believer and really commit yourself to serving Father. So my first point, Yah created men and women with a clear vision. Yah created men and women with a clear vision of their respective roles, and for us to understand this and operate according to the original design. A man united with one or more women with a strong sexual bond is a very powerful spiritual force. Folks, this is so, so important. There's a lot of confusion today about men and women and transgender and so forth. If you were conceived and born as a male, in Yah's eyes, you will always be a male. If you were conceived and born as a female, in Yah's eyes, you will always be a female. It doesn't matter what surgery you have, what medication you take, what declarations you make. I'm not trying to be ugly to people who believe otherwise. As I said, if you're really seeking to serve Father, then you should take note of this. And if you're not really seeking to serve Father, it's irrelevant. I'm not speaking to you. You're welcome to do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. The encapsulation of a man and a woman who work together, have children, raise those children in a nuclear family, and help them to do good things in the world, is absolutely fundamentally essential to Father's plan for this planet, is for this Father's plan for creation. And it's important to understand that, it's important to work with it, it's important to honor it. And then Yah intended men to lead and defend. Yah intended men to lead and defend, and women to support and nurture. These roles are equally important. A man and his woman or women in perfect harmony is a phenomenally powerful spiritual entity. This is comparable to the commanding officer of a military unit and the second in command. I want to stress that if you're a woman and you want to get into a leadership position in business or wherever, I'm not saying that you can't do that. I am, I guess, saying that that's not Father's original intention, but there are women in the Bible who were powerful servants, leaders. And I think the key thing is that as a general rule, general principle, Father expects men to defend their women. And that's not about putting women down. It's about I've lived my whole life believing that. So it's very difficult to visualize a different situation. But if your reality, your paradigm is different, well, then so be it. That's between you and Father. I'm not laying down some harsh doctrine here. Having said that, there is absolutely nothing in my thinking that allows a man to put a woman down, to treat her as a servant, to hold her in bondage, to dictate to her, to treat her in an unacceptable fashion. And that is so important. Father doesn't draw that distinction. He doesn't approve of that sort of thing. Building on the previous point, at this time, there are approximately 7 times as many women as men in the body of true believers today. There are 7 times as many women as men in the body of true believers on earth today. And there are many more women than men in heaven. Women have equal standing as men before Yah in all matters, and it is grievous sin to subordinate them or put them down. Because there are not sufficient men for all believing women to have a believing husband, and because it is grievous sin for a believer to join themselves sexually to an unbeliever, the majority of believing women in this age should remain without a sexual union with a man. They're entitled to have a lifetime, permanent, caring sexual relationship, covenant relationship with another believing woman or women in a closed entity. Rick Joyner, in the book The Final Quest, reports that there are many more women than men on thrones in heaven today. This is a version of the book, a copy of the book is available. If you click on the webpage Eternity, there's a child page, The Final Quest, and you can read the book online or copy it. There are free copies, I believe, available on the internet if you search for free copies of The Final Quest, and you can purchase the book on Amazon. The key thing here, folks, is in Yah's thinking, it is entirely possible for women to be closer to him than men are. It is entirely possible for women to hold senior rank in heaven, overseeing men. So if you've got some bigoted view that women are in some way inferior and you're a believer, you need to deal with that because you're going to get a nasty shock when you get to heaven. You might even end up subordinate to a woman in heaven. And let's talk a bit about the demographics of women and men on earth in the body of true believers. In the good and faithful servants, which are those that are immediately in front of the thrones, there are 10 women to 1 man. In terms of the overcomers and the friends, there are so few that the statistics are meaningless, but there are a lot of women in the overcomers as well. Then the wise stewards, which is a little bit further back from the thrones in the court of heaven, 7 women to 1 man. In the adulterous wives, that's the spirit-filled believers who are worshipping Jesus, worshipping the book, the Bible, etc., that's 3 women to every man. In the foolish virgins, that is the people who are not spirit-filled, at the outer reaches of the throne room, 4 women to every man. In the outer darkness, the unbelieving believers, two women to every man. And even amongst the believing unbelievers, there are three women to every man. And if you've got discernment, if you look where you're going around, if you go into different assemblies, be they churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, wherever, you will find more women than men in just about every assembly. And this is so important, as I said before, you have to understand that if you've got a man, if you're a man with a bad attitude towards women and you're a believer, I really encourage you to clean up and deal with it, because you're going to get a really nasty shock when you get to heaven and find that there are a lot more women than men there. As a man, be aware that you may be accountable to a woman in heaven if you make it there at all. Be aware that treating women badly on earth will lead to harsh judgment when you die. Note that it is entirely possible for a believing woman to become a high-powered business executive, religious minister, or other leader. Intellectually, in every other way, women are entirely equal to men. And the flip side of the statistics that I've just shared with you is that men are actually pretty bad at building a relationship with Father. They're fairly good at building a relationship with the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or whatever. They're pretty good at getting into form and process and ritual and what have you, but they're not very good at building a deep personal relationship with Father. And the irony of it is that quite a lot of the women who are close to Father are close to Father because they've been badly treated by men. There are a lot of women in countries like Afghanistan where women are being treated absolutely abominably badly, who are relatively close to Father compared to the men who, in the name of Yah, in the name of Allah, are abusing and treating those women terribly. Iran, another country that comes to mind that is treating women shockingly, based on the reports that I read. And I don't want to get into that thing of naming and shaming or what have you, but it grieves me when a man treats a woman badly and when they do it wholesale, like the examples I've just mentioned. It's just horrible. Then point number four, sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage. Sexual intercourse with a virgin, with rupturing of the hymen and the shedding of blood, is a covenant act and initiates a lifelong covenant relationship. The taking of virginity is the act of marriage. The marriage ceremony in church, mosque, synagogue, registry office, etc. is meaningless and carries very little weight in heaven, although legal divorce is required before a woman can join herself to another man without judgment. When a woman has lost her hymen through other reasons, or is a widow, or is legitimately divorced in the court of heaven, first sexual intercourse with the ejaculation of semen and spirit constitutes the act of marriage. The terms of the union are fixed at the point of shedding of blood or the point of ejaculation. Because a woman can only covenant legally in this court of heaven with one man, it is apparent that Father intended men and women to be able to live in covenant relationships of one man with more than one woman. Regrettably, in this age, very few women are able to share their men, so monogamy is prevalent and unavoidable. See the article, The Essence of Message, Read the Virgin's Covenant, which I hope to share with you in the next few weeks, and also the article Essence of Message, Separation of Man and Woman. These are these are web pages on the website. And then also regarding sex, see the essence of my message regarding sex, and I hope to share that with you in the near future as well. But the key thing to understand is sex is not some glib thing you do because of lust or desire or whatever. It's something you do on a considered basis once you have decided to live together for life. Similar comments apply if it's two women together. Yah intends passionate sexual lovemaking. Sexual orgasm, ejaculation of male and female projects the spirit of the person climaxing, and if this happens in contact with another being, a one-flesh bond is formed. This is intended to bind man and woman together. A one-flesh bond can be formed with any part of the person's, other person's spirit. During vaginal intercourse, this is the strongest bond. Ejaculation in the vulva, the external sexual organ of the woman, is a betrothal level bond, as ejaculation in anus or mouth. Ejaculation elsewhere produces a weaker bond. Men can form one-flesh bonds with other men if they have sex, and humans can form one-flesh bonds with animals. These are both abominations in the sight of Yah. So I've gone a little bit off topic there, folks. Fundamentally, though, Father intended us to enjoy sexual lovemaking. He intended sexual lovemaking to be passionate. He intended us to focus on giving pleasure to the to our partners. The man should focus on giving pleasure to his woman. The woman should focus on giving pleasure to her man. And pretty much anything goes. And I'm not talking about bondage and really unacceptable things like that. I'm talking about any form of sexual stimulation. Anything that both of you enjoy doing that gives you both pleasure is acceptable. There's this whole religious thing about what you can and can't do within marriage is just, it just stops you. If you've got a really strong one-flesh bond, it'll hold the man and woman together for life. That's what it's intended to do. Then adultery is the formation of one-flesh bonds between men. Adultery is the formation of a one-flesh bond between two men, either two men who both have a bond with the same woman, or two men who directly have sex with one another or with an animal. Either way, this is an abomination. It is no greater sin for men to have sexual intercourse with men than it is for a man to have sex with a woman who is joined to another man. This is important to understand. There's a lot of quite vicious judgment by certain people, particularly religious people, on homosexual men. There's also judgment on women who have intimacy with one another, and that's a completely different thing. For Allah doesn't forbid it between women in a lifetime relationship, but it is forbidden between men. The key thing, the point that I want to make here, is it is absolute hypocrisy for a human being who has sex with multiple partners to have anything negative to say about two men who have sex. It's the same basic sin. It's the basic thing that is unacceptable before the before Father. It breaks the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And it's important to understand that there's again, if you're an unbeliever, folks, this doesn't apply to you. Do whatever you feel like doing. You're not going to come to heaven. You're just going to go and end up as a demon. So unless you're going to shape up and sort out your life, don't worry about this. Do whatever you want to do. But if you're a believer, you have to conform to these rules. And if you're not at the moment, you need to ask Father to help you to conform. Then I want to suggest for your consideration that men pass through a number of stages. First of all, as a child to the age of puberty, 13 years old, as a man to the age of 30, learning about business, commerce, etc., as a father to the age of 50, running the family business, etc., as an elder above 50, running the city, the country, etc., and helping to bring up the grandchildren. It's important to be aware of these stages and work with them. That is what we are programmed for. You may say that's very old-fashioned. Well, I guess it is old-fashioned because old-fashioned is based on Father's laws, which have got more and more corrupt and more broken. Father intended us to live in nuclear families. I believe that's the right term. So children, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, all living together, the younger people looking after the older people when they get into old age, the business, the farm, family business, the farm, whatever, passed from generation to generation, the skills passed from generation to generation, collectively serving Yah, collectively operating as an effective family unit. It was like that once upon a time, maybe not very widely practiced the way it's supposed to be, but take note of it at any rate and let it inform your thinking in terms of how you think about people of different generations, this thing of putting parents or grandparents into care homes at whatever is just not the way it's intended to be. And women can have various states. There are a set of states that are age-related, similar to those for men. In addition to that, talking about women, it's, a woman is a child to the age of puberty, again, 13 years old. A virgin is a woman at puberty, which is the age to marry. So if you go into it, back 2,000, 3,000 years ago, the age of marriage, a girl came to puberty, she became sexually aware, she got married. But she was brought up in a society that was geared and prepared her to get married at that age. There were proper procedures whereby she got to have a say in who she was going to marry, and she lived in a nuclear family, as I've just explained to you. 13-year-olds today are not ready to marry at this age, but they do become sexually active. And so you need to manage that. If you're the parents of a young woman around the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, who is battling with her sex drive, you need to be aware of this and you need to do what you need to do to help her to cope within the constraints of the law in the country where you live. Then she becomes a woman once she has consummated with a man and is in a sexual life covenant with a man. She's a widow when her man is deceased or if she's truly divorced. And she's a harlot if she's joined to more than one man concurrently. So if you don't understand those definitions and you are reading the Bible or other history books of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, you're not really going to understand them. It's important to understand when you read in the Bible about a virgin, it's a girl of about 13 who's just become sexually active, sexually aware perhaps rather than sexually active. There's much more about men and women on the website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Say again, endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. And there's a web page, men and women. It's really important to understand the above and apply these principles in relationships between men and women in covenant relationship. There's a lot more that can be said. As I say, I'm not going to talk about that further today. If you are thinking of going into a man-woman covenant lifetime relationship, then I encourage you to go and read the articles on the Virgin's Covenant, the articles on sex, etc. on the website. There's a lot of important information there. If you're already in such a relationship and maybe it's not going that well, you might want to go and dig deeper into what I've just shared and the other articles that I've just referred to and see how by applying those principles you can clean up your act and get your relationship onto a much stronger, much firmer footing. Fundamentally, there's a huge amount of wrong thinking because marriage is so intrinsic, is so core to life of human beings on earth. The satanic and demonic realm have gone out of their way to mess up the relationship between men and women. And I encourage you to study what it's meant to be like and to get back to the fundamentals. I then want to, I've still got a bit of time, so I'm going to share a couple more things with you. And I want to start by sharing an article, 2021-1104, Virginity Testing is an Abomination. I write and teach regularly on the significance of virginity in the context of the relationship between men and women, believers seeking a covenant relationship. As I was preparing to collate an article on the essence of my message regarding the Virgin's Covenant, I encountered a news report relating to virginity testing in which young girls, presumably Muslim since they were sent to Egypt, were put through extreme physical and emotional discomfort and humiliation to establish their virginity. See the link. There is that article is on the website. You can go and follow the link to the British Broadcasting Corporation. I want to stress that this is not the way the Creator intended things to be and that such testing is an abomination. As a believing man, it is up to you to turn to the Almighty for guidance on whether to join yourself to a particular woman and not to rely on intrusive and humiliating physical examination by third parties. If a young woman has lost her virginity, the man who took her virginity has responsibilities as outlined below. And if he is not prepared to accept these responsibilities, he must grant her a divorce, in which case the procedures set out in the article on separation of man and woman in covenant should be applied. That's the essence of message, separation of man and woman. Folks, the thing here is in a properly structured family where a young woman is brought up with the right set of values, she will be a virgin at the time that she consummates with her chosen partner. And she should have a say in choosing that partner. The stuff that's going on that I refer to in this article is an absolute abomination. And I very much doubt that the people who are doing it are truly believers. And if they are, they're going to have a very nasty surprise at the end of their lives. There's a key point here about girls who are truly believers with parents who are truly believers being instructed gently and with love about the importance of virginity. There's also a piece here about recognizing the age at which a young woman becomes sexually aware and may start to desire sexual fulfillment, which is generally a lot earlier than the legal age for marriage. Again, this requires gentle and sensitive education in terms of how she can cope with her burgeoning sexuality without getting involved with a man. That's outside the scope of this article. I report more on the article on the Virgin's Covenant, which I hope to broadcast shortly. Suffice to say that any form of virginity testing is an abomination to Father Yah and should be avoided at all costs. A very committed conservative Jewish friend of mine shared with me the way they do this in their society, in their culture. The young man and woman raised by their families, they get to an age where they are becoming sexually aware and it's legally possible for them to marry. The parents of the man will go to the parents of the woman and say, I think your daughter would make a good match for my son. They have a discussion. If they decide that that's the case, they then talk to the respective children or the young adults and say, you know, would you consider this? If they do, they arrange a meeting where they share their visions, etc. If they decide that they can live together, within 2 or 3 weeks, they have a party. The young man and woman consummate their relationship and they live together for the rest of their lives, and it works extremely well. But it's all about the culture and the ethos of the society in which you live. So my next piece, just we've still got a few minutes left, 2021-0702, the essence of my message to you. As I progressively consolidate my message, my knowledge of the matters of the Almighty Creator, it seems important to me to spell out to you the essence of my message to you. First of all, the Creator is real. It's vital to come to this understanding. See the article, the webpage, Essence of Message Regarding Creation. See also the webpage, Why Believe, and also the webpage, Why I Believe, and also the webpage, The Essence of My Message. Secondly, you were created to be a friend. we were created for one purpose only, to be friends with the Creator, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, and be in deep personal relationship with Him. See the web pages, Why We're Here, Essence of Becoming a Friend of Yah, and Relationship with Yah. Folks, this is so, so important. Fundamentally, you must believe the Almighty exists. Fundamentally, you must believe that the only reason that we're here is to be His friend. And then you need to decide to become His friend. You need to decide to lay down your life to seek His friendship. And a friend is somebody who is really close to Father and who qualifies for a high throne in heaven for eternity. I desire that for you. I encourage you to go for it. Then I want to make the point that you choose where you spend eternity. You get to choose where you spend eternity. You can qualify for a high throne with great esteem, or you can end up in the outer darkness, the trash heap of heaven, or you cannot go to heaven at all and remain on earth as an ancestor, spirit, or demon. It's entirely up to you. See the webpage, Where Are You Going? It's available to you to live above sin. Inherent in the previous points, it is available to you to live above sin. See the article, What is Required to Live Above Sin? And it is available to you to be highly anointed. It's available to you to be highly filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, also known as anointed, and to operate in great power. See how to become an anointed one. Folks, these are all really important points. I'm going over them at a headline level now because I've got limited time available. I did share this message a few months ago, so if you go back in the podcast libraries, you should find a more detailed discussion. But a key part of being a really committed believer is you need to choose to live above sin. You need to get rid of sin in your life. That means you keep and honor the Ten Commandments. And that's not that difficult once you make up your mind to do it. And the article I've referred to, What is Required to Live Above Sin, will help you there. And it's available to be filled with Father's Spirit. The Spirit of Yah, and I'm talking here to believers, folks. If you're not a believer, this doesn't make any sense at all. It's available to you to be highly filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. Get filled with His Spirit. Get close to Him. Let Him work through you. Let Him guide you. And then it's available to you to initiate revival. By revival, I mean an outpouring of the Spirit. I mean powerful teaching. I mean powerful ministry, people healed, people delivered, people set free, people saved. If you take the previous point seriously and go all out to apply what I've recommended, it's available to you to initiate a revival and turn millions of people to Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty Creator. See the webpage, Will You Initiate a Revival with Me? The challenge to you, I challenge you today, no matter where you stand with the Creator at this moment, to take a decision to seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator and become His friend. See the webpage, 7 Components of Drawing Close, for detailed guidance on how to do this in practice. You're welcome to email me and I will support you in whatever way I can to accomplish this objective. If you decide to go all out for this objective, please pray along the following lines. Father Yah, Almighty Creator, I recognize that You exist and that I was created to be Your friend. I ask You now to help me to become Your friend. I ask You to help me to qualify for a high throne in heaven for eternity. I ask You to help me to live above sin. I ask You to enable me to become a highly anointed one, deeply filled with Your Spirit. I ask You to help me to initiate a major revival. Please guide me and teach me. Bring the people You want into my life and take the people You do not want in my life out. Please open the doors that You want open in my life and close the doors that You want closed. Take me by the hand and guide me. I commit my life to You. Thank You for guiding me. Amen. And that's really what it's about, folks. If you want to get to the end of your life and really be acknowledged and rewarded by the Creator and by Yeshua, this is the thing to do. then there's more for you to read. If you've taken me seriously, I recommend the following further reading. There are well over 1,000 web pages and 2,500 articles on the website, running to around 10,000 A4 pages. If you're a Christian, read the web page Essence of Message to Christians. If you're Jewish, read the web page Essence of Message for Jews. If you're Muslim, Essence of Message to Muslims. If you're another religion, so Baha'i, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, Essence of Message to Other Religions. If you did not believe prior to listening to this broadcast, then listen, read the article, the web page, Essence of Message to Not Believe in the Creator. In all cases, read Essence of Message re Yeshua Jesus and the Miracle of Yeshua Jesus' Death. Please feel free to email me with questions and requests for support. Folks, if you are of a reasonable age and you have some level of success in your career, it doesn't really matter what you do. If you're a train driver, if you're a nurse, a doctor, a business executive, you have invested significant time to get to that position. And if you have a view of your career over the rest of your life, you probably recognize that you will invest further time in that career. If you want to spend eternity in a high position in heaven, you're going to similarly have to go and invest. You're not going to get to sit on a high throne just by saying, hey, God, I'm here. Thanks for saving me. And then carrying on and just living your life. If you want to get close to him and you want to qualify for a high throne, you're going to have to put some effort into it. A postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the web page, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers. I want to sum that up as saying you are not a glove puppet. You are not being manipulated and controlled by the Almighty Creator, despite what a lot of people believe and teach. Yah is not going to take control of your life, as so many people teach and believe. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. He created you to be his friend. He created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. Why would he go to all the trouble of creating you and then take over and use you as a puppet? You will determine your destiny when you die. It's a function of what you choose to believe, what you choose to do, and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. If you want to get into ministry, if you're going to lead a revival, then you need to deal with that accordingly. Father will guide you in terms of your relationship with him, in terms of your knowledge of him. But at the end of the day, you need to get on your knees when it comes to a business decision and say, Father, should I do this or should I do that? Should I marry this woman or that woman or this man or that man? And ask for signs, ask for confirmation. Don't take major steps without asking him, but you have to apply your intellect, you have to apply your mind, and you have to take the decision and walk out that decision. I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I want to draw a distinction between you regarding him as a friend and him regarding you as a friend. His desire is to be your friend. He will, if you turn to him, if you put in the hard yards of getting to know him and seeking him, etc., you will easily get to a place where you look towards him as your friend, as somebody who looks out for you, who helps you, who heals you, who guides you, etc. That's fine. That's what you're there for, folks. If you can't get to a place where you count him as your friend, you are a long way to go. On the other hand, to get to a point where you see things the way he sees things, so that if you say to him, Father, what is the outcome of this election that you want? You can hear him say, I want X or I want Y, and you can pray that into existence. Remember that Noah was a friend of Yah. He was grieved by what was going on in the earth, the way people were falling away. He said to Yah something along the lines of, Father, this is terrible. What do you want to do? What are you going to do about it? And Father said to him, I want you to call on me to bring a flood to destroy these people. It takes a certain mindset to ask that question and then to say, Father, I ask you now to bring a flood to destroy this corrupt people. That's not a trivial prayer, and it's not a trivial place to be in your relationship with him. So key documents in a video on the web pages, compendium of important articles, video on why seek relationship, miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, Muslims, Jews, etc., all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available at the web on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and podcasts or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all on the top row of the menu, so easy to find. The Google search is particularly powerful, indexed the whole website. And there are, as I've said, a lot of articles there. Probably a lot of your questions are answered if you want to go looking. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I want to reiterate, the only reason we're here is to become friends of the Almighty. Virtually nobody knows that, and almost nobody is putting that into practice. I encourage you to go for it. Make a decision today to become his friend. Do the praying, do the work. There's guidance on the website. Contact me. I'll point you in the right direction. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your education is, short or tall, fat or thin, blonde, blue eyes, brown hair, black hair, brown eyes, witchcraft, whatever. Father wants you to become his friend, and he will take you from, he will meet you wherever you are and lead you to where you decide you want to go. And I encourage you to make that decision right now. Email me. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Good night. Father.